Amazing. Good morning. I've no idea what this is doing to my hair, but never mind. We are going to be reading from Luke chapter 5, verse 27. And we're talking through a series on encounters with Jesus. This scripture is an encounter. So as we're going through this, I want you to maybe take a step with me and go into an encounter where you close your eyes and you have a sense of the sights and the sounds and the smells and the textures and maybe even the tastes of what's going on in this scripture, because Jesus wants to encounter you in his word. So if you want to do this with me, I'm just going to read it through. Close your eyes and let's just ask God to take us on an encounter with him through this word. So Jesus calls Levi and eats with sinners. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So this is similar to the passage in Mark 2, verse 13, and Matthew 9, verse 9, where Levi appears with the name of Matthew. Now, the situations are very similar. So identical wording, but just a different name. Kind of maybe I think a bit like Simon Peter, who's referred to with both names interchangeably. So we've got Levi, Matthew. But unlike Peter, Levi's not a character who fills the pages of the Gospels with impulse and boldness and denials and preaching. We know that as a tax collector, he would have been good with numbers, educated, and probably despised for collaborating with the occupying Romans. He would have been accused of dishonesty and cheating to make some extra cash on the side. We don't actually know if he did these things because he's not mentioned particularly much after this. But we do know that his encounter with Jesus was so powerful, it broke his attachment to his home, his job, his income, his security. And so we see through this that Jesus can call anyone, anytime, anywhere. Not because we can judge a person as being worthy or special, or even that we think of ourselves as special, but God says that we are. Jesus saw what was in Levi, what had been put there before the foundation of the world, that he was calling him, and he saw that God-created fingerprint in them. Can we see the God-created fingerprints in the people around us, even if they're people that we might despise? Can we see the gold in others? Can we call it out of them? Because any one of us can be a channel for Jesus, anytime, anywhere. Jesus calls the criminals and the prostitutes, the employed and the unemployed, the New Agers and the intellectuals. The list could go on. And he goes out to get them. What does that look like for us? Where do we go that are places that are out? Where do we explode the kingdom for our particular situation? The name Levi means attached, but Matthew means gift of God. And we see that his new character is bent on lavish hospitality, generosity, inclusion, and celebration. Is God changing your name and your nature today? Will you let him whisper in your ear the new name that he has given you? Will you embrace the character that he is sending? Because for Levi, this encounter led to action. He went from taking to giving, and had to continue to walk out this new process, literally step by step with Jesus. He didn't suddenly become a fully fledged apostle, but he did stay the course, and his impact is still affecting the world today. Your impact is no less essential. God placed you on planet Earth with a calling and an assignment that is all your own. Even if, like Levi, you feel like you're less noticed or you're ignored, God still sees you as valuable as the Peters. No one else can fill your spot. No one else can do what you do. You may never see the full impact in this life of what you release on this planet, but don't give up just because the enemy tries to tell you you don't have an impact. He's a liar. So I still hear people saying from time to time, oh, I don't think I fit in here. I don't feel like I belong. I don't feel like I've got anything to give. That's the enemy talking to you and telling you that you're not going to have any impact. But God says the opposite. And this story of Levi shows that. Of course, we need to test what we think God is calling us to do. We need to test what we think our assignment is. And there are lots of great tools out there that we have in this church, like the Shape Course, that can help you to work out what your fit is. But every jigsaw puzzle has a piece that is shaped slightly differently, and it has a hole where it fits that it goes. And God planned you to fit in your particular shape, in your particular place. Levi got to leave his job. Sometimes our job is our assignment. And that's been my challenge, to try and find balance in a hugely stressful profession. And yet my testimony is that in the last 2 years, God has carried me with incredible grace. That was my encounter in a place that I thought it wouldn't happen, in a place where I struggled to feel free. So my testimony is that it can happen for anyone, anytime, anywhere. In verse 30, we see that the religious spirit rises up in the Pharisees. When we embrace the freedom that God brings us in calling us to follow him, others may not like it. They may criticize, sneer, or try to come with righteous-sounding reasons for dissuading you. But in this passage, Jesus keeps the focus on the heart of the Father. And if we keep our eyes fixed on the Father and not on the critics, we will not miss out on the adventure. The spirit of Jesus that called Levi to follow him is still living in us today. And I wonder if you can feel it stirring in the encounter with this story. I want to tell you some of the stories that we had as part of this. I want to tell you the story of a couple who came to our church when we first started it here. So we ran a six-week holiday club program for kids in the summer. This is kind of going back about 20 years. And Jill and I had a group together. We did, I think, primary five. And there was one girl who came really consistently the whole time, and she was really open to what God was saying and doing with her. So we started to pray for her family. And at the time, I didn't really have a lot to do with dreams or the prophetic or any of that kind of thing. But I had heard someone say that we should ask God to give people dreams about him maybe even things like dreams about Jesus on the cross. So I did that. So I prayed that for that girl's family. And then, lo and behold, some weeks later, her mum came to church, and she said, I had to come because I've been having dreams of Jesus on the cross. And her mum came to faith. And then at Christmas time, shortly after that, she took her husband to a concert where they were playing Handel's Messiah. And God got him through the music. So encounters can happen anytime, anywhere, with anyone. So the whole family came to church together. And the dad gave me the first prophetic word anyone ever gave me about the meaning of my name. And that still stays with me and encourages me and gives me life. So since that time, dreams and creativity are two of the ways that God uses me to work with the encounters that he is already out there giving to people. So every time we have someone painting or drawing or moving up the front of church, that's an opportunity for an encounter, because God can do anything. Nothing is impossible for him. Jesus moves through the worship and the word and creation, and even being asleep is not enough to stop you from encountering God. So if you feel, even without knowing why, that one of these pictures is speaking to you, come for prayer at the end, specifically to that picture. Get the prayer team to take you to the picture. And I believe that God will be releasing encounters to you specifically in that way. So over the journey with me and what God's called me to do, I just love the way that God is already pouring out his spirit. I mean, this is what we have in Joel 2, and then Peter shares it in Acts at the day of Pentecost, that he's pouring out his spirit on all people, not just people inside a church. And so it's my privilege to be able to set up stalls and fairs and go to New Age events or music festivals or one time we did the Active Seniors Day in the park and all of that kind of thing, just to be able to go to where people are and to find out what God is already doing in their midst. And to be able to lead them to a deeper understanding of what God is doing, how he's speaking. Just like in the Bible, people can be troubled by the mystery of a dream and never think to pray about it and never think to go to a Christian about it. And it's been such a great joy to sit with people, even people who've held dreams for up to 50 or 60 years. There was one lady, and she said, I think I've had this dream for about 60 years, and it had kept coming, and God was trying to get her attention and set her free, actually. So the dream revealed how her freedom could come, and we got to the privilege of releasing that to her and setting her free from something that had been with her for 60 years of her life. So, you know, this happens to me. It will be different for you, what God's asking you to do. But connection to God is released as we go out to the places where God has called us. People can be worried when they find out that you're going to what they might consider difficult places. But actually, I've found that God's light shines brightest in the darkness, and that he is with us and that he is faithful. So as Jesus said in this scripture, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. Okay, Jesus can bring encounter to anyone, anywhere, anytime, and all we have to do is listen for the follow me. So maybe like Levi, your tools are different. Maybe your tools are numbers and maths and strategy. Maybe your tools are just, you know, simply buying flowers. Ask God to show you what is in your hands, your heart. And I'm going to tell you the story about the flowers that we gave out when they built the new houses next to the library in Whiteinch. So our house group decided, like in the story of Matthew, Levi, that we would go in generosity and celebration of these new people that God was bringing into our community. And we gave each house a bunch of beautiful flowers. And I remember we kind of got all together in my kitchen, and we had the floor covered in puddles of water and greenery and all these buckets and bowls that we had. I think we used pretty much everything that we had to fill them. And we then went and gave these bunches of flowers to each house in the community. And Alan got cards from people, one woman in particular, who said no one had ever bought them flowers before. And how much that had impacted and moved them. So it doesn't have to be complicated. An encounter can be in some flowers. What will convey the love of God to those around you? It's good that we had a sermon series on love languages, because I don't have to cover that part now. So you can go and listen to that. This word releases an anointing for total turnaround, complete repentance, freedom, calling. I want to turn this time now into a time where we do ask for the encounter. So if you know someone in your family, in your life, who needs total turnaround, who needs complete repentance, who needs to know the calling of God on their lives, would you be prepared to stand up, to stand in the gap for that person? Maybe it's you that's hearing God calling, saying, come and follow me. Maybe it's for you, maybe it's for someone you know. But I want us to have this time where we pray just where we are in our places. And you can pray for the people around about you. But I'm just going to ask you, and I was wondering if we could get the musicians back up as well. Let's stand. If you want heaven to invade earth in some aspect of your life, in someone that you know, in someone that is needing that, maybe you want a fresh anointing for evangelism. Maybe you want the right words to say at the right time and the boldness to say them. Please stand if you are able. Because I felt when I saw this time that God was pouring out his spirit on us like thick gold honey. And so I just want to invite you, if there's something out of this message that you want to activate, then let's stand and ask God to do that just now. So please stand with me if you want some of this. Yeah. Sure, oh my God. Jesus, we just stand in the gap for these people that we know need total turnaround, that need to hear you saying, follow me. God, we think of the people in our lives that don't know you. Would you just pour out your spirit on them right now, Father God? It doesn't matter where they are. Doesn't matter who they are. Would you just pour out your spirit on them? God, would you make all other voices grow dim and powerless in comparison to your speaking to them? God, would you come to them in encounters, whether it's in the night or the day, God, whether you're doing it through dreams of you or whether you're doing it through the people around them, God, whether you're speaking through creation, God, would you just break through? Would you just send all the help of heaven to minister to these people? Because, God, you leave the 99 and you go after the lost sheep. That is your heart, God. And we are just standing on behalf of the people that we know that need to be picked up and carried home by you. Jesus, would you just help them to encounter you in unmistakable ways? Would you give them encounters with you on the cross? Would you show them what you've done for them and what you are doing? Would you call them into their destiny, God? God, would you release fresh anointing for evangelism onto us, God? That we would just experience this thick gold honey of your anointing pouring onto us. That you would show us the strategies that you've given us uniquely, that that while some may be called to go out onto the streets, others may be called to gift a cake to their neighbours. Whatever it is, God, would you just pour out your anointing and your power onto what you're calling us to do? God, we just pray for heavenly timing. For heavenly words to say. Yeah. God, would you bless them? Would you bless them to their original design and function as you intended, God, from before the foundation of the world? So often, God, we get diverted into paths that are not quite right. But God, would you just come? Would you just come and release your alignment, that you would bring people into alignment with the path and the timing that they are supposed to have? Would you call them into the right steps? Would you accelerate them quickly into where they're supposed to be? God, would you give them divine appointments? Would you send your angelic on assignment to minister to those who would inherit salvation? Yeah. Yeah. Just start to pray. Pray for the people that you are thinking about. Pray for the people next to you. Just start to pray. Father God, would you just come? Speak out and declare that God is calling them, that God is calling them, that all other voices grow dim. God is calling. God is calling.